There's a lot of scripture that gives us the thought or leads us to think and meditate on the importance of watching, being ready or alert. Isaiah chapter 21, the last part of verse 11 said, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" Indicating that somebody is on lookout. Somebody is watching. And the question goes to him, how does it look from your vantage point? Peter tells us in his first epistle in chapter 5, the first part of verse 8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant." Another translation said, "Be on the alert." Be on the alert. Jesus tells us in Matthew 26, he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." And then he gives us a reason why it's important for us to take that admonition. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. King James has a word in that phrasing there that may add a little bit of urgency to it. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Some translations leave that word "indeed" out. The Spirit is indeed willing. That's why we're here on Sundays. But when our feet hit the road and begin to go through life on Monday, we find that the other side to that equation may rise up a little more prominently. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is telling us to watch, to be alert, to be on our guard, so that we don't enter into temptation. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Again, indicating to us the importance of being on guard, watching. Watchmen, what of the night? What is it from your vantage point? What can you see? We also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul's admonition to us as we watch and stand fast in the faith. Previous here in chapter 10, he said, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." Have you ever felt the truth of that verse hit home? I'm talking about reaching the point, or for some reason getting to the point where, you know, I'm standing pretty good here lately. I'm doing okay. Don't forget to say, and don't forget to keep it in mind, the Lord's been helping me. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." Going to the passage of Scripture that Jaron opened up to us Wednesday evening, Galatians chapter 6, the very first verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. There it is again. The admonition to be on guard, to be watching. Because we can see around us somebody who has been overtaken in a fault. And we can see it. That must mean that I'm spiritual, because it says, ye which are spiritual, restore. It just says, you that are spiritual, you that are not taken in a fault, restore that one, considering yourself, lest you also. Considering yourself, be on guard yourself, lest you also. Life can be considered or likened to a voyage. Never been on a big ship out at sea necessarily for myself. But we're told that we can liken life's journey as a voyage. We can think about the new year ahead of us as uncharted waters. We've never been here before. Nobody has been here before. It's brand new times in front of us. The unknown is laying out without our knowledge. The book is yet to be written for 2016. And if we take it to heart at the beginning of a year, and surely this is a good time for us to be reminded of it, that we are to watch, that we are to be sober, that we are to be alert, guarding, considering ourselves lest we should fall. If we only knew ahead of time, if we could only understand before all about the traps that are laid, all about the possibilities of the devices that have been pressed out in front of us or laid out in front of us for our demise, if we were only aware of the rocks, the reef that was in front of our vessel, sailing along in good seas, and suddenly there's something that is maybe unknown to us that comes up and strikes our vessel. Sometimes it's easy for us, you and I, who are sailing comfortably, to look at somebody else who has some kind of trouble in their life and to realize that that trouble has caused them some great spiritual turmoil or distress. And we, at times, may look at them and say, well, why? Why did that make them bitter? Why did that make them throw in the towel? Why did that cause them to quit? He that thinketh he stands, take heed. You know, I wish that I could give examples. I wish that I could go down through and name off people that I'm aware of, that people that I have been acquainted with who can I just be just completely honest this morning? I could stand back and say, why? Why did that cause them shipwreck? Just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Gibson told me of an individual, a fellow pastor, gave up. I'm not talking about being discouraged in the pulpit and resigned his church and went out for secular work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving up spiritually and making major life changes. Now, I know that I can't see everything that took place in that man's life. I know that I can't see every hidden rock that was in front of his vessel. But the rocks that I see that his vessel had to deal with, I have to stand back, or at least I do stand back and I say, why? Sometimes it's because I can't see the other hidden rocks in their path. I don't see the pressure that's in their life. I don't see the enemy fighting them in many other ways. And so that one rock that I see, but what it does to me is it gives me warning. Watchman, what of the night? There's stormy weather. There's a possibility of what we used to call in Pennsylvania, and I don't know, I guess we have them out here at least in measure, but it seemed like we had them more often in Pennsylvania. Maybe it's just because we had them more often when I was a kid, you know. You had them more often when you were a kid, but we called them squalls, you know, snow squalls that would pop up and just give you a blizzard of snow for 10 seconds or so. What a horrible snowstorm is upon us, and then as soon as it came up, it disappears and the sun comes back out and shines and the snow's all melted quickly away. But those little shake-ups, changes in the atmosphere, beyond the alert of those changes of atmosphere in the home or at work or in the church, unforeseen for the most part, and suddenly it's there, and unprepared for the most part, and suddenly it's there. Watchman, what of the night? We think about life as a voyage. We have to think about the winds and the currents. Though we don't see or sense the realities or the importance of the winds and the currents in our day because we have such great power to push us through. If we could give a little bit of an idea, perhaps anybody that's been driving any length of time and the wind is blowing pretty bad, pretty hard, and it's coming across the road at you and you go under an overpass and your car lurches a little bit because that wind is no longer pushing, and then you come back out the other side and the wind pushes you again and it lurches you again. You see, in the old sailboat days, the old sailing ship days, it was important for them to pay attention to the winds and the currents. While they couldn't change the winds and the currents, and let me bring us over into our spiritual lives, and though it doesn't really compare over to us, I believe that it is important for us to understand that we have at least a little bit of an option about the winds, whether they be favorable or not, and the currents, whether they be favorable or not. In that we have the choice of our companionships, and we have the choice of what we are taking in, by reading or by viewing or by entertainment. Maybe I shared with you before, but there was a young man that I associated with in my junior high days, and my dad told me more times than once that I was not to be spending time with him. If I see you with him, if I hear that you're with him, and 9 times out of 10, when there were breaking of those kinds of things, there was consequences to follow. Dad didn't just give out some lame threat. I knew that there would be consequences if he found out. I also know that I think I was as bad of an influence on him as what he was on me, so I can't put all the blame on him. But when I hung around him, the winds were no longer favorable spiritually. The winds and the currents were not spiritually conducive. The books that I read, the things that I view, the areas of entertainment that I allow, it all has a means to being favorable spiritually or unfavorable spiritually. Don't think that you can get by. Don't think that you can just slip on through here, that it doesn't matter as you compare yourselves among the spiritual climate around us, that we can say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. That doesn't mean that we're spiritually favorable or that the current is helping us in the direction that we want to be going. We must be on guard. Watchmen, what of the night? What is it from your vantage point? What are you seeing around me? What is it in my life that is leading me astray or weakening me? If a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. What about shipwrecked sailors? When I was a kid, my dad used to pray for a man that I only knew vaguely. I knew this man, this young man's parents. We called his parents Uncle Pete and Aunt Mary. They were not our uncles, uncle and aunt, but we called them that. And their son, who I was acquainted with, I knew who he was, but he was much older than I was. And I was just a little lad. He was in his upper teens, maybe even early 20s. I don't know, so separated that I didn't know. But I remember Dad praying for Kip. And he would pray something like this: "Oh God, would you speak to Kip and help him to keep him from being shipwrecked?" And he would pray over and over again. I'd hear Dad praying for Kip that he wouldn't be shipwrecked. And I went to him one day and I said, "Dad, is Kip in the Navy?" "No, why?" "Well, you keep praying that he won't be shipwrecked." So Dad had to explain to me what spiritually shipwrecked meant. I still didn't grasp it in the context of Kip, but I began to understand what he meant as time went on. Realizing that people make shipwreck. And as we are sailing our sea of life and the voyage is before us, let us be watchful for those to restore them. It's a good title for a sermon someday. Restoration versus demolition. One of these days I'm going to get around to preaching it. It's an excellent title. I seldom have good titles, but I think that's a good title. If I can only come up with a good sermon to go with it. Restoration versus demolition. More often than not, we want to kick the person that's down. We want to talk about them and try to decipher and analyze why they fell and how it was that they fell. And in the process, we just keep moving them along and kicking them down the road. Nobody wants to be categorized as an animal. We hear more and more of that today, that the human animal. Well, we don't want to be categorized as that. We are above the animals. But sometimes I'm afraid that we act like them. I killed a pig last Monday. It was down. And in the process of being down, the other pigs in the pen began to pick on it until blood began to be seen. And once that blood was seen and once that blood was tasted, the pigs that once upon a time, for many years, it got along fine. They were good friends, as good friends as sow pigs can be. But there were never any major issues. They weren't killing each other. They weren't even hurting each other for years. I don't know how long they were together. But once the blood was seen, tasted, had to hurry along the way in order to get there. If a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. You know, there's far too many people that have made some kind of shipwreck, gotten bitter, discouraged, frustrated. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, we can look at them and say, well, that's irrational. We can look at them and say, that's ridiculous. And in the process, what we are doing is kicking them further and further away and down. Because to them it is rational, and to them it's not ridiculous, it's real. I shouldn't spend this much time on it, but it's there. Never kick them when they're down. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. God help me. As we travel along and as we're watching, we're alert, we're paying attention, we're doing our best to stand fast in the faith. We must keep in mind that there's fueling stations. Well, this could get interesting here, because a fueling station could mean different things to some. You know, with our modern technology, we have all kinds of new engines. But then there's still some others that are still working off of steam engines. But it doesn't matter what engine we're using, we must remember that we need a fueling station. A fueling station. You know, a weakened ship can come about because of the lack of maintenance. And if we do not maintain our spiritual engine, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Perhaps that's the main reason why that verse is there, because of the necessity, the importance of us gathering together to be spiritually strengthened together, worshiping and praying and seeking and listening together. And then finally, we must keep our destination in sight. We may not see it visibly, but keep it in sight, in that we keep it ever before us, that we are going God's way and we are following God, and there's only one way to God. No matter what else we hear, we know in God's word, if we're going to follow God, we're going to have to follow His word. And His word says that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And as we follow Jesus Christ, we have that hope of eternal salvation, keeping that destination in sight. I hear the story of Christopher Columbus. I guess it's Odyssey that does a good job depicting it. Somebody on those children's tapes depicts it. And you know, sometimes we may think that Christopher Columbus had everything in order, and everything was all just peaches and cream, and then we get to the part of the story about mutiny and people wanting to go turn around and go back. And it appears that Christopher Columbus always had in his vision that there was something just beyond the horizon. He seemed to always have it there, that just a little bit more, I believe that all, just beyond our ability to see, there's a new world. And then can you imagine the near chaos that ensued as the watchman saw that horizon for the first time? I don't know. I wasn't there, and it's hard to really say what went on, I suppose. We can imagine it. People can portray it in stories and all of that. But I like to think that after the months of discouragement and doubt, that the destination came into view, it was rapture to them. Keep the destination in view. Again, going back to the passage of Scripture that Jaron gave to us on Wednesday night, be not weary in well-doing, for the reward is there to those that do not faint. The reward is there for those that do not faint. It just may appear to be a lost cause, but just over the horizon, just beyond the point of our vision, just out of reach of our hands, is the reward. If we continue to press on, if we continue to watch and be careful and alert, there is a reward at the end of the road. I don't know what this year holds. You don't know what this year holds. The things that may be hidden underneath the surface of the water. It may appear to be grand and glorious, but somewhere along the line, there very well could be some pitfalls, some traps, some snares, some devices that have been laid for our demise. Let's keep watching, keep on guard, be alert, because one day we will experience the reward of those that do not faint. Keep on. Keep on. Watchman, what of the night? What is it from your vantage point? The sea is calm, the sky is clear. But let's trust the unseen to the hand of our Father, trusting Him that no matter what happens, we do not lose our trust, our faith. We do not faint. Let's stand together this morning.